Head into the bay. All right. From Oakland to San Francisco, the Bay Area in California is rife with tales of the eerie and haunted. Today, our explorers of the unknown ask you to take a trip with us to the West Side as the Something Perplexing podcast takes a look at the haunted Bay Area. I'm Issa.
I'm Patty.
And I'm Khaled.
Ooh. Ooh.
Spooky. Are we going to the Bayside, guys?
Into the Bayside, bro, and you send us this thing with this one particular ghost. Let me throw out my confusion when you send this periodical ghost, dude. I had no idea, and then we keep looking into it, and then you was like, "Well, we could expand the search to the entire Bay Area," and then I was like, "What's the geography of the Bay Area? Like, would that include?" And now I realize it's like this huge area, San Francisco. I tell you, from Oakland, Emeryville, San Francisco,
And the only thing I wanted to know about that was is Saved by the Bell created in this area, because wasn't it at Bayside they went to? Bayside? Is it in this area
Schoolhouse.
too?
Full House was. Do you guys remember that Danny was a Golden State Warriors sportscaster?
Oh, who's Danny?
It's a Golden State. Who's
Or
that?
Danny?
The
Yes.
basketball team, the Golden State Warriors.
No, I
Yes,
know. I know
Danny
Golden State
Tanner.
Warriors.
Danny
Oh,
Tanner
Danny
on Full
Tanner.
House. Fun fact.
Oh, I was like,
Oh.
who's Danny, dude? I know the Golden State Warriors, but I wasn't too sure who was Danny, man.
Danny Tanner, dude, he was like the first. I mean, everybody jumped on the bandwagon after that, but he was the first official real fan of the Golden State Warriors. He was
Hilarious.
number one.
He's number one.
But dude, I
Rest
was
in
blown up.
peace, Bob Saget.
Oh man, old Bob Saget, dude. That's one guy they never find anything bad on, dude.
No. Awesome, dude.
Really
Hilarious.
missed.
Hilarious. Have you heard his stand up?
Dude,
Yes.
I had a crude stand up, and I had just know him from like what's the name of the show? America's
Full
Funniest
House.
Home
Full Oh, and
Videos.
America's Funniest Home Videos, right?
And Full House, and I was like, that's why I know this dude. And shit, that dude was bringing it nasty, man. He was funny, dude. He made me laugh. I don't care how nasty you are, just made me crack
Yeah,
up.
exactly. I was cracking jokes in heaven.
He was a
Maybe.
good one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he was.
old
He
Bob
was.
Saget.
He's a ghost. Oh, yeah.
But with that in mind, old Bob, right? When you send that thing and I start looking into it, and Patty start looking into it, and everybody start jumping into this whole Bay Area, what the fuck? It is like
It
a
was
super
confusing.
overly haunted geographic area, though, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Well, I ran across this article because of a show on a Discovery Plus or something, and they were talking about this haunted house. And I'm like, okay, cool. Didn't quite understand it. I'm like, just a haunted house. Okay, what's the cause behind this haunted house? And I came across an article called The Periodical Ghost in Oakland, and it revisits a story that happened back in April of 1874. So for 1 week, there were these activities happening at this house. And the house had about nine tenants in there. Three of them were
Were
related.
they were a Cuban family?
Listen, the street is on, it's on Castro Street. So
Oh God, never mind.
maybe
Patty called it Cubans
I'm saying
in
because Cubans, a lot of Cubans live
Castro.
together. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. But listen, the guy's name was Mr. Thomas Clark. He lived there with his wife, Julia, and their daughter, Helen. And they had about nine people all together. So nine minus three, six tenants. And they were all like affluent people. They worked in the government. He was a clerk for the Treasury Department in San Francisco. So back on April 24th, 1874, they got woken up in the middle of the night by doorbell just ringing nonstop. And then as they came out of their rooms, the boarders, the people living in the home, and everybody came out to see what's going on, they saw all these things happening in the house. There was chairs levitating, tables levitating, chests being thrown against the wall. There was a lot of activity. So they don't know what was going on. And over the course of a week, they had an audience of people come out from the neighborhood and from far away, reporters coming outside, standing up, listening to what's going on in the home. So for a week, this was a big thing. And they actually had people come over to spend a day in the house to see what was going on. And they noticed things happening. They wrote reports about it. So at the end of it all, this entire week, they don't know if it was some devilish supernatural spirits or equally devilish man that caused all of this happenings. Because the last day of activity in the house was on April 26th, where they had a white flash of light inside of the room. The entire house lit up and a ghost appeared in the center of the room, put her head back, screamed into the air, a shriek, and she disappeared. So there was a lot of strange activities in the house. Needless to say, the family didn't stay there much longer after that. They moved out, right? So this house was sitting abandoned for many years. And in the 1970s, it was torn down to make way for the Interstate 980, I think it is. But in that area, that neighborhood, there's three houses built 10 years after this event in 1884. Because I was looking at the area, I didn't understand the map on this article talking about this week event. And they had two dots on the map. One dot on the highway, another dot, three Victorian houses. So I went to Zillow. Zillow, you can find houses for sale. And yeah. I Googled that area. It's like a hotel of some sort. You can actually stay there, I think. But there's three Victorian houses were built back 10 years after this event. So they're old. And people are living in this house. Some interesting people that had some interesting experiences. Now, the ghosts may be around that area still, maybe living in that house. There's a ska band living in one of those houses. A ska band, right?
What is which ska? Ska band? Which ska band?
Okay. Okay. The guy's name for the ska band is... I have no idea.
The Big Dog's research is on point.
Oh, it's called the Missing Link.
The ska band in the notes.
The band is called the Missing Link, right? And he said his cat got possessed. His tabby cat got possessed. Oh, it was acting all weird, and it jumped off the balcony.
And that's a cat. That's not possessed. Wait, that's just a cat being a cat.
It was drooling one day, and it acted all possessed, and it jumped off the balcony. That put it to sleep. Another tenant in another house. That I put it asleep because it jumped off the balcony. It did, you know, did cat things. I thought cats are smart, but not possessed cats. They do stupid shit.
I didn't know they used to possess cats, dude.
Me either. But you've seen Pet Sematary?
Yes. Scary movie. Ooh, yeah, man. I have a Pet Sematary story coming up.
Ooh, meow.
I just think cats, I don't want to break your chain of thought right now, but I need to circle back to cats, dude.
Yeah. The musical?
Cats fight. Possession,
right? They should.
They do.
I don't. They yeah, do I don't. That's like God against evil type of thing.
Well, my retort on that is a retort. The right word? I have no idea. My counter on that is it's a ska band, and I don't know if they were high. Maybe they threw the cat off. The... What's a ska band anyway? How do they sound?
Reggae kind of
punky, right? Isn't that ska? Yeah. Like, reggae and like kind of like Sublime or No Doubt before they sold out.
Bob Marley before he developed reggae was ska.
Ska, okay.
Ska. All right, so a ska band. There's three houses, three Victorian houses there. So one is a ska band. Another one has some guy who says that he tries to sleep at night and there's a woman that comes into his room and holds him down. He tries to get up and turn on his lights and he can't because the spirit's holding him down.
Called the succubus.
Succubus, yeah. And the ska band noticed a weird energy in the house. So they all have some weird energies in that building. I want to go over to that corner and see what's up one day. Maybe drive, you know, down that interstate. But this haunted house that sat there for like 100 some odd years that got torn down. It was a lot of questions that popped into my head about this guy who wrote the story, Thomas Clark. he ended up writing books about this story. He wrote like a 26-page paper. Then he wrote three books, which I was telling Patty about, which made me question his sanity. These are the books, three books. First book he wrote, Mr. Thomas Clark. Wait, the Experience, wait. Huh?
This is the books that Thomas Clark.
Yeah, who lived in the house. Right? Yeah, okay. The guy who said there was all this activity going on in his house.
Well, you want to hear this, dude, before you transition to the books, right? So remember, three books.
Three books. Okay, that's where I'm at. Yeah.
That's where we at. I think you want to hear the article?
Yes. Sure.
So this is the article from 1874. So Oakland, April 26th. The house of Mr. Clark on Castor Street, about which many astonishing reports have been in circulation during the past 3 days, was visited by Reverend Dr. Ellis Major and another prominent gentleman last night, and they remained all night. Your reporter has received the following statement from two of these gentlemen. So apparently they had like the Ghostbusters hang out in the house for a night.
Yes.
And the reporter get this statement. While standing on the sidewalk, a loud crash inside the house startled them. The door soon fluttered open. They were invited in to see the cause. A heavy marble topped bureau at the top of the stairs had fallen forward and deeply indented the balusters without showing a scratch on itself and without breaking the mirrors. 10 minutes later, a heavy chair came whizzing down the stairs, breaking a leg in the fall. Half an hour later, a light paper box whirled down. At midnight, they saw a heavy trunk fall with a startling crash, rebounding from the wall to the baluster, deeply indenting both and striking the floor with such force as to break its iron straps and wrench its top from its hinges. On examination, the visitors saw that the passage to the floor from the trunk's unusual place of deposit was very narrow and crooked, and that no one or two men could have carried it along that passage without sufficient jostling or noise to be audible by the inmates. It had not been but buried down. You're gonna have part. But no man in the house could have accomplished that feat. Later, a shrill shriek of mingled pain and rage was heard, apparently in the hall below. Other demonstrations occurred during the remainder of the night, but of less startling character. All right, so that's the report, and that's supposed to be like a non-biased report about like the two guys. It had like one more paragraph, but we'll let that slide.
Dude, I had to read that article like 3 or 4 times because it's like old English, and I'm like, what? What's a baluster? What
is a baluster? I figure, but the impression I get is shit is flying to and fro.
Yeah.
Without like, the assistance of man.
That's the visual in my head as well.
That's the visual I get.
A lot of shit's going down at the old mansion on Castro Street.
So but, here you are now, 3 years later, and you're saying that old Mr. Clark capitalized on this shit big time? This whole thing was a hustle?
No, I don't think it was a hustle. I think some shit did go down at that place, but he wrote some books that were perplexing to me. You know, he wrote some books back in, so this happened in 1874, 1877, 78, 79, three books. So in 1877, he wrote the book, The Heavenly Spheres, Character of Residents in Each and Their Occupations. He wrote that book by talking to the spirit of Martha Washington, George Washington's wife. In 1878, through his communications with George Washington, he wrote the book The Experience and Opinions of George Washington from the Spirit Life. And in 1879, he wrote a book, The Social Living of Heavenly Spheres, by Mary Washington, which was George Washington's mother. So I'm like, oh, so you wrote some books communicating with spirits about the spirit life. I'm like, okay, cool. Now,
I was going to say, do you imagine that if you asked somebody back then, if you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, George Washington is who everybody would have picked?
Everybody
right wanted. Now, like, that's the last person I would want to
talk about. Yeah, right? No. George, what's he going to say? You know, I don't know. I don't know. We know him. He's on the dollar bill. That's all I need you for. You're good. Thank you. Bye. But dude, that kind of like threw me off a little bit about that. That event at that house. Then I began thinking about what could have caused it. And some of the ideas were maybe there were some boys throwing some tricks. Maybe it was a possession. Maybe it had something to do with the local shell mound that's in the area. And I'm like, shell mound? And then I began checking out Indian burial grounds in the area. And come to find out, 3 miles away, there's something called the, what is it called? It's the shell mound. It's
called the Emeryville Shell Mound.
Emeryville Shell Mound
is fascinating. I tell you, I think this is the source, dude. I can't wait for what Patricia going to talk about.
Yes, I want to hear.
Going to talk about it is because it is. It lead to. I tell you, it is the pink goo under New York in Ghostbusters 2, bro.
Right. All the the entire area is possessed, has to be, because they treated the entire area like it's their own. They built over all the burial grounds, and that big ass shell mound was one of the largest ones in that area. And in the total area, there's over 400 mounds, which were razored or built over. So there's bodies everywhere in that area. Bodies everywhere, right? Woo! Yeah, but that shell mound, anybody did, and you want to talk about that shell mound, Nissa?
From 800 BC, groups of Native Americans called the Ohlone had lived in that particular area in the bay, right? So, original inhabitants of the bay was apparently the Ohlone tribe, Ahlone, right? And the most advanced society among them, called the Chicochians, who resided in the Alameda County region, right? So it had like a bunch of different tribes, apparently, but in that one particular tribe, Ohlone, right? Emeryville believed to have been their capital. And yeah, apparently when it was like a burial ground, archaeologists believe that the Native Americans constructed a shell mound. I didn't even know a shell mound was a thing, dude. So apparently it's a large type of burial situation, right? And it made up of shellfish and animal remains, the remnants of millions of meals consumed at the site and prehistoric residents. The shells that threw aside from there. Catches of shellfish eventually covered some hundreds of thousands of square feet.
So it's called the shell mound because of the shells?
The shells, they're dyed basically. It's called abalone. I forgot, it's a type of shell, mussels, clam shells.
Yeah.
Abalone. Mm-hmm. I never knew what abalone was. But things they ate is threw in there. And I thought it was just a big trash pile, but no, they actually did things with it.
They had like a amusement park at that particular shell mound, the Emeryville shell mound. They had like a large amusement park operated on the site from 1870 through
1924. 1870? Wow, 1870? Interesting.
Boom.
1874, that thing happened. At that house.
That's so when shit's starting to kick up, dude.
Okay. So 1870, they began an amusement park on that site. They had amusement park, they had a dance hall and a racetrack. And the dance hall,
a carousel and was, a bowling alley.
And the dance hall, guess where it was built? Where? On top of the shell mound.
You see?
That dancing festival is on top of the shell mound.
That's the oppressors, dude. They kill everybody in the area and then just like build a dance hall on top of the people's grave. It should not.
The Spanish actually imprisoned most of the people, the original tribe. So I don't, and yeah. I guess it took the area over. But yeah, dude.
God damn. Regardless.
Ouch. Yeah. So that site was used as an amusement park for all those years, huh? Okay. And you know what happened to it eventually?
What?
It got torn down in 1924 to make way for industrial plants. So steel plants, pesticide plants, paint plants, all that were put there in the 1924. So for 70 years, that entire shell mound area was basically razored. It was taken down. That the tallest shell mound in the area was razored to make way for industrial plants. And in the year 2000, they decided to build on that site a shopping mall. So as they're cleaning up the area, right? And mind you, all the natives are objecting to this. You know, it's their sacred site.
And then they're still protesting yeah. on that shit.
So as they're digging up the site, they find that there's still about 8 feet of that mound there. And in the mound, there are bones. There's like bodies, again, everywhere in the toxic sludge of 70 years of industrial work in the area. All those bones, the shells and everything got is toxins that cannot be, they were supposed to be given back to the tribe to rebury. But they couldn't because it's so much toxins in there. They have to take it to an industrial site to burn. So some of it was shipped to Texas to burn. And they continued to build their mall. The mall had to cover everything up because of the toxins. And there's Old Navy there now. I'm pretty sure Bed Bath & Beyond. And there's a
five
little
below.
Tiny... Maybe 5 and 6 feet below. Who knows?
Oh, my God.
There's a...
I went to my first Five Below the other day. That shit is great.
It is.
Awesome.
I love it.
I didn't but, even know it was a thing, man.
But,
this
right?
is great.
It is. I bought a coloring book there not long ago.
Oh, but that site, they have one little archway in remembrance of the area, basically, is all that they have
sweet.
Left. Yeah, and the Indians get to protest once a year at the site.
Wow.
You know, basically that's your shell mound. But again, bodies everywhere. There's, I'm pretty sure underneath that entire area for miles could be mounds that people are building over. So that's my story, guys. Sticking to it.
Well, since we're talking about bodies everywhere, I think we should talk about the city of Colma. Did you guys read about it at all or no?
Where is that in relation to the bay?
So. It's, I don't know what any of this means, but it's in San Mateo County on the San Francisco Peninsula in the San Francisco Bay Area.
It looks like a bay to me, but yeah.
I've never been to San Francisco, so I'm not too sure. It's C-O-L-M-A, the spelling.
You were there every single day you watched Full House.
Agreed, yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing it.
You see it? So it's a small place. The population is... In 2020, the census said that the population was like a little bit over 1,500. It's predominantly Latino and Asian. That's the majority of the people that live there. Over the past decade, the Caucasian population has actually decreased, and the population of Asians has grown significantly. Now, live people, the population is 1,500. But if we're talking about dead people, it's over 1.5 million bodies in this small town. There's 17.
What?
Yes.
Well, you see, now, wait, before you continue, you bring it up something crazy there. Like, that's like normal. Like, I think it should always have more dead people in a place than.
No. Living. It's not. I don't think it's normal.
I feel like there's more dead people than live people.
Right. Oh, I mean, it's, I think the ratio is 1,000 to 1 dead to alive, which is, I think, pretty insane. There are 17 cemeteries in the town, and they cover 73% of the town, which is like
damn.
A lot. There's one of those 17 cemeteries. There's one that is a pet cemetery, which we talked about earlier. We were talking about pet cemeteries, well, the movie. And it's called Pets Rest, and it holds over 13,000 animals. So on top of the 1.5 million bodies of human species, there's 13,000 animals.
And these are like, these are legitimate, like legal sites, or like archaeologists, like ancient sites?
No, they're cemeteries. I'm going to explain why they're there, why they're in that city. Mm-hmm. But because of this, Colma is nicknamed the City of the Silent. And in the past, there's a motto. There's a motto for the town. And in the past, it was actually even on their website. And that motto is, it's great to be alive in Colma. At least Issa did not like that joke. Look at his face. He's like, I don't like it. So...
No, why? You know what I find too, dude?
Uh-huh.
So you want to hear this one? I don't know how true it is. It's from the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this shit true, then the stats for old Coleman is insane. So hear this one.
Yeah, there's probably more than what's reported.
Dude, 107, the dead estimate, right? So we'd have like maybe 7 billion people in the world right now. They estimate that over 107 billion people in the history of the world probably die.
Okay.
So that make it like about 15 dead people for every person living.
And so in Colma, it's 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
Okay.
Oh, so, want a fun fact before you continue about Colma? It can actually work for any state, any country, any street. People living across the street from a cemetery, it's illegal for them to be buried in the cemetery.
What? Why?
Yeah,
what?
It's illegal.
Why?
Yeah, because you can't bury alive people. You have to be dead.
Oh my God, I hate to live.
My uncle told me that joke while we were driving in Trinidad. And he's like, you know the people living across the street from the cemetery? They can't be buried in the cemetery. I'm like, what? That's so stupid. Why?
It's like that. Where do you bury the survivors?
It's an uncle joke.
And then you're like, you can't bury the survivors. I know. That was great. I love it.
I use it all the time now.
I will repeat it at the next party that I go to, if I'm ever invited to a party again.
You gotta be driving past the cemetery to use it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Got it. Well, I can't wait to drive past the cemetery again. Let's talk a little bit about
1,000 to 1. Damn.
1,000 to 1. Let's talk a little bit about Colma's history. The origins of the city are linked to the gold rush, which brought in obviously a lot of people who, like all people do, would at some point end up dying. And in the 1800s, San Francisco started to kind of be like, we don't want to have any more cemeteries. We don't want to house a bunch of dead people. And they started to use excuses like that cemeteries were health hazards, that they were nuisances. A lot of the people living in the area at the time were like, well, cemeteries are a waste of space. We need to build buildings and homes where people can live and businesses where people can go. Why are we wasting all this valuable land on just building cemeteries for like dead people to lie in? So this guy, his name was Hamden Holmes Noble. He's passing at the time by a cemetery in San Francisco called Laurel Hill Cemetery. And he's talking to his friend and he's like, you know, and this is not a verbatim conversation, I'm paraphrasing. He's like, this cemetery kind of looks like crap. It's not the same as it was when it was first built in 1860. And his friend is like, you know what, dude, maybe you should maybe this is a business opportunity for you. And it's something that you can do. So in 1892, this dude, Hamden Holmes Noble, and a couple of his buddies, his pals, his drinking buddies, I don't know that he drank, I'm making that up, they end up buying 47 acres in Colma, and they create the Cypress Lawn Cemetery. And what ended up happening is there was an overflow. Like I said, San Francisco was like, we're not building any more cemeteries. So there's an overflow. So they started taking in that overflow of bodies from San Francisco, where San Francisco was just like, we're not doing it. By 1924. What? Yes. Yes, sir.
But San Francisco is like the big one, though.
San Francisco is a big one. Colma's a small place. If you look at it on a map, it's small. Yeah, it's not a big place. By 1924, San Francisco's really done with the dead, and they start actually evicting, for lack of a better phrase, bodies that had been buried. And they pass ordinance and laws that ban the construction of any more cemeteries within their city limits. During that time, a bunch of the bodies have to be relocated.
What do you mean?
So where do they go?
Evicting dead people?
They are evicting dead people, dude, because you got to use the land for what you got. You got to make those little, what are they called? Like, they look like little brownstones, and you got to do what you got to do in San Francisco, right? Land of the colonizer. Am I right?
Wait.
And so that's really how all those cemeteries.
That's a thing, dude? Remind me again what year this is?
What year was when the bodies start to be moved over and they stop constructing more cemeteries because of, you know, banning laws that are put in place to ban the construction of more cemeteries? It's the early 1900s.
Okay.
So that's how the city came to have so many cemeteries. Over time, people moved there. It's a small town. I Googled. I was curious. I was like, what is the best? Because now I really want to go to Colma. I'm like, what's the best restaurant for me to check out in Colma? And some like random diner came up. I read on Reddit that there's a Lowe's there, which is nice, because if you want to construct something, that's always a good thing. I did read an article in the East Bay Times about some creepy things that have happened in Colma in the cemeteries, and I'm going to read to you about the incidents. I'm reading like verbatim from the East Bay Times. There was a human skull that turned up in the branches of a tree at Holy Cross Cemetery. A grave had been robbed, but they couldn't find any of the other body parts. That's one. This is the one that I found particularly interesting. There was the image of the Virgin Mary that appeared in 1997 in the sap of a pine tree in Olivet Memorial Park. Hundreds of people visited the tree, decorating with wreaths and memorials. And then the last one that I found was, there was a story told by a Colma police officer who passed an old man with sunken eyes and blood dripping from his ear to his mouth in front of Woodland Cemetery one night. When the officer flipped a U-turn, the man had disappeared. So, would you live in this town? I'm going to tell you some of the people that are buried there. But before I go there, would you live in Colma? Like, let's say that you found a super cute home for the right price, below the right price. Would you live in Colma? I want to know.
No. Listen, I wouldn't. So I think it, like, so the question you ask is no, I wouldn't move to Colma.
Okay. But you want to visit. I want to visit.
I want to drive through.
I looked for hotels. They have hotels as low as $98 per night. We can go.
Airbnbs?
Oh, yeah. Airbnbs.
I'll make that an Airbnb.
That's genius, actually. Can you imagine having an Airbnb in this town if you buy something? Because the people that are really into this kind of stuff, this is a place you would visit, right?
I'm just saying, that's an investment right there.
Khalid, that's why you are smart. And me and Nis are just average.
No, man, you guys should do it. You guys should make some money, dude.
I hung out with you to just be around that money when you make that.
I wanted to rub off on me.
For real.
Just rubbing
the money and the intelligence.
Something perplexing. Airbnb. Come get possessed. Maybe.
Ooh. Investments gotta go down. You think you would want to move out though if you're like 13, 14 years old? You hanging out with your friends right through. You in high school.
Like going through a God phase.
You going through a God phase, and then you find out the history of your town. You think you would want to move though? Like,
I mean, I think if you live there, you can see the 17 cemeteries, and you know there's a lot of dead bodies here. Imagine if there's 1,500 people in town. How many people are in your high school at any given point? Like 50?
Right? I don't know, but you thinking that if you grow up there, that's kind of the norm. Like when you go to somewhere else, you wondering, hey, why are there so many forests and trees and buildings and mountains and stuff. Where are all the graves?
Where are all the dead people?
Right? Where have all they gone?
Where have all the dead people gone?
Do you guys like going to cemeteries?
Weird.
No. I mean,
I like walking through cemeteries to see the dates and stuff like that of the graves.
Yeah, agreed. I do.
You just brought up something.
I wouldn't say I like it, but I go because I have loved ones that have passed. And when I go, I don't feel uneasy going to a cemetery. Do you guys? I feel like the people there are at rest. I don't know.
It's like archaeological almost, because I remember going through and seeing a bunch of different areas. Like when I drove out through Georgia, I ran across this old cemetery behind a church that burned down in the 1800s. And the crypts were like burnt up, caved in, old graves I used to see. It was kind of cool to watch that. But you know, we actually have some in Florida. I just remembered, in Coconut Grove, there's an old gravesite built in a forest, and we'll talk about that later. But I don't. John mentioned something about that psychic that I know. He went there with my brother, and they noticed a spirit that was, you know, not a good spirit. Never wants to go back there again. But he'll talk about it.
What's the name of the spot?
I forget, it's in Coconut Grove.
It's in the Grove. If you drive by it, you know, it's where they did a Thriller, right,
Colin? Well, yes, yeah, I think so. And it's an actual cemetery in a forest. I actually walked through that forest a little bit. There's houses right across the street. Yeah. Interesting. But this entire city, basically, that you're talking about, mostly dead people.
73% of the population is cemeteries, so...
I say just build skyscrapers over there and bury the dead in the skyscrapers.
Oh.
Might as well. Yeah, I'll do that. That'd be a good business opportunity, right? Skyscrapers for the dead.
Yeah.
Boom. Wants to be in the penthouse. Skyscrapers for the dead.
So let's talk about a couple of people that are buried there. And I only mentioned three. If you go through the list, I'm sure you guys will recognize more people. These are the ones that really stood out to me. One of them is Levi Strauss. Do you guys know who that is?
She Russian?
Familiar though.
No, dude, the denim person. Levi Strauss.
Levi Strauss. Hey,
Levi, dude.
Strauss.
Levi has good jeans, man. That's
jeans, dude. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, wow.
You know who that is, right?
Yeah.
He was he married to
Marilyn Monroe.
And he was married to Marilyn Monroe. That's right. And apparently, after she died, he would go to her gravesite like every day or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
And then Abigail Folger, who was the coffee heiress, and she actually was one of the victims of the Manson murders. She was in the home with Sharon Tate, and she was one of the victims. So she's buried there. So that's Colma. But I want to talk to you guys, if you don't have any questions about Colma, about another place.
You didn't mention the strange happenings, dude.
Yes, I did, dude. The man crying and then he was gone. The
Virgin Mary.
The Virgin Mary skull in the tree.
Okay. All right, my bad.
Are you not listening
to me? No, I am.
But the other place I wanted to talk to you guys about is the Golden Gate Bridge. Because I didn't notice. I have an
issue with that. It's not gold.
That's true. It's not gold. It's red, right? But the Golden Gate Bridge, the Golden Gate, that would be cute. The Golden Gate Bridge. A lot of people go there to commit suicide on a yearly basis. The Golden Gate Bridge, for people that don't know, is in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the deck of the bridge is 245 feet above the water. And they stopped officially counting at some point, but between 1937 and 2012, there were an estimated 1,400 bodies that were recovered of people that committed suicide by jumping off the bridge. The fall will last for about 4 seconds, and then people hit the water going at approximately 75 miles per hour, which is insane. 95% of the people die immediately from the impact of the trauma, so they get internal injuries, but the remaining 5% of the jumpers that survive typically drowned or they die of hypothermia because the water is cold.
And because you probably break a leg for mm-hmm. the least, like falling into the thing.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's going to be damage. As of 2013, it was reported that it's estimated that about 34 people had survived after jumping. Now, the Golden Gate Bridge, they have put things in place, and they're working on putting more things in place to prevent the suicide. So the bridge now actually has telephones, like suicide hotline telephones. There's patrols of they're being patrolled by emergency personnel and bridge workers, and it's actually closed to pedestrians at night. If you're riding a bicycle, you can actually go through, but you have to, like, there's like a buzzer that you have to sound, and then they let you in, and then I guess they monitor you to make sure that you make your way out. So there's things that they're putting into place, and they're also working on a suicide barrier. That's been delayed a couple of times due to different issues, some monetary, some just people voting against it. But what it's going to probably look like, it's going to be a net pretty much below the deck. So if you jump, the net is going to catch you.
That's problems, dude. I just saying, a lot of mm-hmm. folks gonna want to just jump into that net randomly
for fun. Like,
yeah,
for fun.
Gonna have, yeah, like a
shit. I assume that maybe they'll do something that so that if you do that, there's some legal issues that accompany it. Maybe maybe they'll make it illegal. Not that they care, but you know, it is what it is. So the official suicide count was actually kept until 1995. And in 1995, it ended with the 997th jump from the bridge. At that time, shortly after, the Mariner County Coroner, Ken Holmes, he asked the media to please stop reporting this death, obviously, so that, I guess not glamorize it is the right word, but just putting it out there in the media, maybe giving others idea. But by 2012, the unofficial count exceeded 1,600. And that's where people had seen somebody jump or there were bodies recovered. Now, there's a lot of deaths. There's a lot of deaths that have occurred here, obviously, but there was a couple that kind of stuck out to me. Actually, there was two that really stuck out to me. One is really sad, and it happened on November 23rd of 1945, and it was August and Marilyn DeMott, and Marilyn was a five-year-old girl, and August was her 37-year-old father. And the morning of this incident, August's wife, her name was Carolyn, said that August had left the house with Marilyn around 8:30 in the morning to go to a doctor's office. He had had a work accident and he was supposed to go to the doctor to kind of figure out what was next, you know, with what was going on with him. She says that he was adamant about taking this little girl with him, and she just had a bad feeling about it. They did have another daughter. She was 8 years old. She was in bed at home, but he was adamant about taking this particular daughter, five-year-old Marilyn. They don't end up going to the doctor's office. Instead, they drive to the bridge, and he tells Marilyn to jump from the bridge, and Marilyn does it, which I read several articles where people were very confused by this, because even if she's 5 years old, typically, even if you're 5 years old, you're not going to do something that is going to end up injuring you or killing you, in this case killed her. But they say people that witnessed the incident said that she jumped. There was no hesitation. She went, she jumped, she did what she had to do.
I can see five years old. I can see it too.
Absolutely. If your dad is like, jump, you're going to be like, okay.
Especially if she loved daddy, you know what I mean? And she close to dad and she see water, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Fuck.
Yeah. Shortly after she jumps in, he goes in after her and he dives into the water. They find a note in his car that says, "I and my daughter have committed suicide." The Coast Guardsmen, they look and look and look for the body. And after about 3 hours, they assume that the bodies were probably have gone out into the Pacific Ocean because of the tide. When they talk to the wife, she's obviously hysterical. She said she had a premonition about this incident.
No.
And she said that she knew it. She knew it was going to happen. And at the time that they interview her, she said that her husband had been ill for a while. So that's one that stuck out to me. The second one that kind of stuck out to me it's not as tragic. Well, it is tragic because somebody lost their life, but it's not, doesn't include a child, is Roy Raymond. And it was in August 26th of 1993. I did not know who Mr. Raymond was. And do you guys know who Roy Raymond is?
No.
No. He was the founder of Victoria's Secret.
Oh, shit.
And he was actually inspired to start, I didn't know this, to start Victoria's Secret after he goes to purchase some lingerie for his wife in a department store, and he feels super embarrassed, probably because he's the only man there and he looks like a creep. So he ends up opening up Victoria's Secret. And the reason that it's called Victoria's Secret is because he wanted to take from the Victorian era. While Khalid was talking about Victorian stuff, I was thinking about this. He wanted to take from the Victorian era, from the romantic like bedrooms and all that. And the secret obviously is because it's the undergarments. He was 46 at the time. The last time that he's ever seen, he's walking towards the bridge. Some hours after that, they recover his body near the Marin County shoreline, and he had committed suicide. They interview his ex-wife. He had recently gone through a divorce, and she said that he had suffered from depression. Well, that she believed he had suffered from depression, which I think is very probable since he committed suicide. So that's the Golden Gate Bridge. I didn't know the Golden Gate Bridge when I was reading this. I was thinking of the Okigahara Forest that we did. And I don't know which one has claimed more bodies, to be honest. I know they're both stopped counting to not put this out and give people ideas, but I wonder which one has claimed more bodies.
Oh, that's interesting, because I'm pretty sure people died building that bridge, right?
Golden Gate Bridge.
Sure, but you know, at least in the forest, the Oka, how do you say it again?
Okigahara
Forest, you can eventually find the bodies if you find it eventually. But that's in this true. Golden Gate Bridge, once you go in that water, anything you could be stripped out far away, eaten by, you know, sharks, crabs, who knows?
God damn,
a lot of death,
a lot of death, and I'd never realized how morbid this area was. I always thought like New Orleans was like spooky, and I actually think this is spookier. I've never had an interest in going to San Francisco until we did this episode, and now I totally want to go. And if you look online, you can find like haunted trips, like road trips through the Bay Area, where you can stop at different places. There's a lot of hotels, there's bars, there's just like a lot of spookiness going on here.
Oh, wow. Just do not stop at a bar called The Last Stop.
No. It's always a bad idea.
And there, isn't there a place in Miami called The Last Stop? It's like a biker bar. I don't go to biker bars. I'm Hispanic.
I just came up with that name right now.
What's a biker bar in Miami, dude? Like a bunch of 45 year old millionaires who just
I said Miami, but it's like right before the Keys. I think it's called The Last Stop.
Double that statement, dude. That's just a bunch of retirees. You know what I mean? I ain't like hard bikers. I ain't like mid, you know?
I don't know. There's a lot of bikes if you drive by outside. Not somewhere I really want to go, but you guys should check it out.
I think we should all go there. Fit
right in.
No, we all go there one day. We load up in my car, my Jeep. We get a bike rack, load up some bicycles in the back.
Okay.
Park like a mile away, and we ride up on our bicycles.
I like that. Let's do it.
He's like, oh, how'd you guys get here? On the bicycle? It's like, on the bicycle.
Let me just throw out some shit right now, because we're not going to have like time to like it have so much crazy shit in this particular Bay Area. So just Bay Area alone, like stuff that we could explore. And this is not just San Francisco, because San Francisco apparently have like a million different haunted houses.
Yeah, dude. The Winchester House is a big one that we probably should do a whole separate episode on. Yeah.
Dude, it have like so much crap I didn't realize had exist in the Bay that's just haunted, dude. The chapel. The one I had like was actually think about was the Winchester Mystery House, the one in San Jose.
With all the pink one that with all the upside down rooms and everything, doors that go to nowhere.
Dude, it is that's gorgeous. Crazy, it's not like full out pink. It got like this kind of like cream brownish kind of deal.
We need to do a whole episode on the Winchester House, I think.
Dude.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Crazy.
Because this, but I tell you, this is something that gearing us up, if not the first, in like the Halloween season, man.
Yeah.
I got some more ghost stories in.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
For Halloween.
I love Halloween.
The USS Hornet, a haunted ship, apparently the most haunted ship in the history of things. The William Westerfield House. Dude, Alcatraz by itself.
Oh, yeah, Alcatraz. There's another one too, Angel Island, I think.
No, hold on. No. Is there, well, I believe you. City of Colma, Angel Island. Yeah, dude, this whole area is like insanely haunted, man.
Interesting. We need to go do some exploration. So you already went to California, but California is further away from San Francisco, right?
Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I went to like the LA area.
I've been to Los Angeles too. Honestly, I've really never had any interest in going to San Francisco until we started doing this research. And now I'm like, I had a chance,
dude. And like it was an extra 2 days on the ticket. And I was like, meh, nah. Like, no, George was cut it short. It was like a whole thing, and I would have to like get the extra days and then more rental on the car and shit.
I could have driven out there like on my 2 week trip out there. The furthest I drove out was to like Las Vegas and turn back around. Could have gone a little further.
Now you know.
You drive from Miami to Vegas, dude?
Yeah, the plan was to go to Miami to the Grand Canyons, and then you know Vegas is right there. Let's go for a day, and like, should we go anymore? I'm like, nah, let's go back. It's a long drive.
How long did it take?
Oh, the entire trip was 2 weeks because we took Florida up towards like Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico area, Arizona. We just drove through a lot of the Route 66 down into Grand Canyons and into Las Vegas. So we did Route 66 for a bit, saw some old abandoned towns and stuff like that, abandoned villages, towns, whatever. It was cool. And asteroid craters, volcanoes, I got to go check out ice caves behind volcanoes. It was all like cool stuff. The asteroid crater was amazing. I got to try and pick up the asteroid. She was heavy. Couldn't get it.
God damn.
It's like, argh. But yeah, fun trips, baby. Fun trips. Gotta do it. But yeah. I learned an important lesson.
Which was?
Texas is really, really big.
It took and me a long time. Red.
And red.
No, dude, you know, I had like a uncle who was recently in town when he had just come back from Austin. And he couldn't stop talking about how diverse the spot is, dude. And it's like I hear like so much people tell me how like that, but particular spots do.
Yeah.
Like they'll call Houston, Austin. They'll call Texas, Austin,
mm-hmm.
Houston. But it have like Texas is like a, it like
Florida.
The way they describe it, yeah, exactly. It exactly like Miami and like Miami-Dade, Broward in relation to Florida, to Broward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
South Florida in relation to the state of Florida.
Yep. Mm.
That's how Texas sounds.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
Well, you guys think about the idea of this thing stretching across like this particular area? You think it's maybe because we just look into it? Like if we had just like look into like some weird random other area, like if like New Orleans super haunted, you know, it have like super haunted. Like I don't understand how like one particular area could be like so rigorously haunted. What are you thinking, girl?
colonizers.
Colonizers.
I think it was the gold rush. I think it was a native area, and then this happened, and a lot of like white people started coming in, and yeah.
It kind of puts us in this perspective, right? Imagine this, if you will, for a second. Our most sacred site as Americans for a burial site is what?
My phone just fell by itself.
Boom.
You know of a place called the Arlington Cemetery?
In Virginia?
Super sacred site, I would say, right? Very holy, blessed, you know. You don't want to mess with that. Imagine building over that with a nice mall. Just razor everything, put them all on it. How would you feel as an American about that situation?
Ooh!
Gunshots.
Yeah.
That's a big statement, dude.
Yeah,
man. And then, so you take the Indian tribes, their burial sites, just put something over it, a mall over it. Nobody cares how they feel, because they're natives, you know, they're not white people. It's not an American thing, really. You know, so imagine that.
Glad you're on my side at this time, Khalid.
Yeah.
I think it's a area that was highly populated. I think any place that there's a big population too.
Yeah.
Is and bodies. Let's think about the places that were probably the most populated is where they have like warmer seasons. It's probably where the
most because I was going to say I never hear this really be any case in like New York and shit, dude.
In downtown Miami, by those malls are building up, there's a site that they excavated. It had Indian burial grounds there, Indian villages. So there's one by this massive hotel on one side of the bay, and the other side they built this hotel or this building.
Right. Yeah.
And inside they section off the area that they're excavating that has the Indian village in there, but it became part of the village. So that's downtown Miami.
Yeah.
So they have them near bay areas, near the waterways. A lot of populations would live. It's near the water. So
yeah,
you're going to be building over them if you're near any kind of a bay area. Just think about that.
That's sad.
You're on South Beach. You're on Miami Beach. You're probably standing up on a, Patty. Probably bodies under your building.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Remember my dad had that
like
once.
A few bodies under your building.
Oh, right? No.
But my dad was in Chicago, and he was as a young man living there, working at this factory. Like selling parts, industrial parts, and they were digging up in the parking lot, and they found bones underground, and they just left it there, you know, just the bones everywhere. So I'm pretty sure they were native bones, or Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know. You know, maybe it was. I like that. That's a cool suit, Lisa. I like that pirate suit.
Wait, I don't understand, like multiple bones, or like he finds.
Oh, I don't know.
That's all like and... a
can thing, you give dude? Us an official bone count, please?
Was there like many a body, or like just one body?
I don't know. I just mentioned bones. I'm gonna ask him to write that down. Bones that... everywhere, people. If you're living in the water, near some oceans, just you know, pay homage to your foundation.
That thing you say just now with Arlington Cemetery, dude, if somebody had built over it, that would be an act of war, dude. They would have blew whole countries up for that shit, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And imagine these Indian tribes are just there protesting, building over their people, their ancestors, their history.
I was saying, I had this thing the other day, and it was so awesome, dude. It was so funny. And it was like something I had to think about for a while, but like you hear the whole thing about the Little Mermaid,
the enrage that people are mad because...
yeah, like people super pissed about the Little Mermaid being a little black girl.
Wait, is a new one? Where?
Yeah, it's like a live action movie.
I heard about that. I thought they actually found a real mermaid and she was black. I'm like, what?
no,
I thought it was a fake story. I'm like, no way. But is it live action?
Oh. Yeah. Are people super pissed off about it?
Why?
Yeah.
I know.
Because no they make the Little Mermaid black. And like, apparently people are enraged about that shit.
They are. And you know what? The Little Mermaid, I'm not a big fan of the Little Mermaid in general. Not because she's black. I don't care about that. Mm. I actually like that they're diversifying their portfolio. Mm. But like, this Little Mermaid, she gave up her freaking voice.
Mm.
Everything. Her life, her friends, for a family. Fucking pair of legs to come to Earth, like to come roam around, like you have nothing but a pair of legs. And I guess that could be a beautiful thing, like about sacrifice, but I just don't vibe with it. You don't like just leave your family and your friends to go live on sand for a pair of legs.
Hmm.
Just saying.
And do not get me started on Beauty and the Beast.
She hook up with that dude. A little bit of that. She was like, screw fins. I'm coming in.
But did she want, I haven't seen it in a long time. Didn't she want the legs before laying eyes on
Prince Eric? Yes, she did.
Eric?
Yeah, she did. She longed for it. She had a song about it. I remember the song well.
Well, oh, she, dude, yeah. Then she couldn't sing because she gave away her voice for a pair of legs. Like,
right?
I love that cartoon, dude. Everybody pissed off about the Little Mermaid being black. Mm. I don't think any of them was as pissed off when they turned Jesus white. Boom! And that's where we're going to end our podcast today.
Or when they romanticized Pocahontas.
Oh, and
gave her a white savior, which, like, do we really want to talk about that? Because we don't, right?
Any final thoughts on the haunted Bay Area?
I want to go. Let's go.
Go. Yeah.
When we get that Tubi sponsorship money, which I did not talk about Tubi today, so I'm going to say it right now. Hashtag Tubi.
Boom. Tubi.
Tubi announced.
When we get that Tubi sponsorship money, we're going to go and we're going to like document
every single place that we go to.
For Tubi. Series. First, to be special.
To be announced.
To be announced.
To be seen next week. See ya.
Bye.